The title for the message that we want to look at tonight is simply Be Still and Know That I Am God. You can take your hymn books and turn to number 907. We have the song Be Still My Soul, and if you'll notice the verse at the top of the song is taken from Psalm 46 verse 10. And that is where we want to take the message from this evening. Now, if you turn your Bibles to Psalm 46, you'll notice that the heading under the psalm is a song upon Alamoth. And what that means is it's a song that was sung by the women. That's what a song upon Alamoth means. I'm not sure if the preceding psalm was one that was sung by the men, and the Psalm 46 is in response to that. I'm not sure on that, but we're going to ask the sisters tonight to sing number 907 for us, all three verses, and the brethren can just simply listen, drink it in. It is very beautiful when the sisters sing this song. I'll get you started. And you can sing it for us.
Be still. Thank you.
I trust that you let the words of that song soak into your heart, rich in meaning. All right, men, now it's your turn. Let's read Psalm 46 together. Just the men and you ladies can listen in. Starting to read at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He cutteth the bow and the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. All right, thank you. Like I said, this was a psalm that was sung by the women. And it's a very meaningful psalm. And as you notice, Psalm 46 has three stanzas. And each stanza is ended by a Selah, or meditate on it, think on it. Now, the main subject in each stanza is God, who he is and what he does. And the phrase that we want to focus on this evening is found in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Now, the word still in the original Hebrew means to slacken. That's what the word still means. It means to let off the tension, to slacken. We all know what happens when the tension is too high. Things snap. When the stress of the load is heavier than the strength of the rope, things break. Recently, I was doing some business with a customer that builds harps. And he was telling me about gut strings. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of gut strings or not. But professional harpists actually prefer to have gut strings on their harps. A gut string is made from the small intestine of a cow or goat, and it takes about 14 cows to string a harp, apparently. Now, there's still a factory. It's called the Bow Brand String Factory in England, and they still produce authentic gut strings. They import big barrels full of small intestines. They're packed in salt, and they're imported from Ireland and Scotland. And these intestines are split into strands. They're washed in a series of special baths, and then they're spun into strings. Following that, they're varnished and bleached and dried and polished. Gut strings apparently produce the best sound, but they also break much easier than a synthetic or a nylon string or whatever they make other strings out of. Change in temperature or excessive humidity can cause the harp bow to expand, and it can cause that string to snap if they're not careful. Verse 10 here is inviting us to be still, to slacken the tension. You know, harps with broken strings cannot produce a song. Life has many occasions that produce tension in our lives. Now, usually too much tension comes when we feel out of control or when we feel like we can't meet the goals or expectations that have been set, that we've set for ourselves or that others have set for us. Now, we do need some tension in our lives. There needs to be some there. It cannot be avoided. Harp strings that don't have tension don't create a melody. I think we all know that. Now, it's important tonight that God is holding the other end of the string. The other end of the string of our lives must be grounded, it must be rooted, it must be attached in God. If your string tonight is connected to some other person, or a perception of what others think of you, or an image of who you are, that tension will get too high and that string will snap. What is your heart string connected to tonight? What is your heart set on? And that makes all the difference, whether or not we can be still and whether or not we can deal with the pressures of life. Verse 10, be still, slacken the tension, and know that I am God. That is the invitation to each one of us. The tension of the unknown is released when we know and when we understand that God is in control. That knowing, that confidence brings a rest. It brings a peace. It brings a confidence that nothing else can. When your heart and its desires are fastened in God and in the knowing that your life, your future, and whatever God allows to come into your life is His perfect will and is for your good, your life will have a melody and it'll have a peace like nothing else will. You know, life is full of unknowns. There are people in the world right now who don't know where their next meal will come from. There are people who are terminally ill and don't know how many days they have here anymore. There are families who are grieving, desperately trying to come to terms with why a gunman walked into the school and shot another 10 students, I believe it was this week, down there in Texas. There are Christians tonight who are existing in dark, cold, damp cells, looking forward to another frigid night, just like the last 365 or more. That is a reality for many, many Christians in the world. Dear people, tonight it's possible to be still and not let the tragic circumstances snap our strings. But we must know God. That string must be connected, must be fastened to God. Notice all the facts in this psalm. I like looking at this. Notice all the facts. Verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength. Verse 4 says, there is a river. Verse 5 says, God is in the midst. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. That little word "is there" means that's how it is. And I'm thankful for that tonight. It means that our God exists and He connects His presence and His power to whatever our situation is. But our string must be fastened in God. In Job chapter 19, verse 25, Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that knowing, that confidence, kept Job's string from breaking. It kept him still when he was suffering loss and pain like very few humans ever have. Isaiah 40, verse 28, our brother read that verse tonight. It asks the question, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Is this the God that you know tonight? Surely he knows about our fears and our misgivings and whatever we're going through in life. But it's important that our string, that our heart string, is fastened in God. Romans 8, verse 28, again we have the word know, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It takes a lot of faith to believe that at times, but that's our God, and he can make something beautiful even out of life's most hopeless situations. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, Paul was facing persecution, imprisonment, betrayal, abuse. And he says this, he said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Paul knew the one that had saved him. He knew the one that had called him, and he could count on his God to keep his commitments and bring him safely through. Jesus says in John 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. What a precious verse. We have a shepherd that walks with us, that leads us, that carries us, that knows us, and we can trust in him. Because he loved his sheep more than his own life. The key to being still tonight, the key to finding peace, is knowing the shepherd and having that string connected to him. He knows how much tension that string can take. Psalm 46 has been called Luther's psalm. It was a psalm that he was accustomed to singing when he was in trouble, when times were dark, when the enemies of truth appeared to triumph, when disaster seemed to come over the cause in which he was engaged, and the friends of the Reformation were dispirited, disheartened, and sad. He was accustomed to say to his fellow laborers, "Come, let us sing the 46th psalm." I'd like to look now at the three stanzas in this psalm, and especially notice at what God is and what he does. We can know God, we can be still tonight, because God, number one, God is the shelter from our fears and our strength in weakness. Apparently, bomb shelter sales have been booming since Donald Trump became president here. Especially over the time when the tensions were escalating with North Korea. I'm not sure if the sales have dropped now, being that it seems they've got that a little more settled. I'm not sure where that's at. But there's a company somewhere down here in the U.S. that makes custom bomb shelters. And from what the article that I read said that the Toronto area there in Ontario, Ontario's largest population lives within the GTA area, and they were selling a lot of bomb shelters into that area of Ontario. These bomb shelters came with a variety of options. You could custom order a bomb shelter, everything from master bedrooms and bathtubs and walk-in closets. You could order a custom-built bomb shelter. Well, I'm thankful that Christians don't need bomb shelters. We've got something much more secure to place our trust in. Now, it does seem like possibly verse 2 could be speaking of some sort of a nuclear attack. I don't know. It talks about mountains being carried into the midst of the sea. I'm not sure what this is all describing here, but I'm thankful as God's children, we don't need to live in fear because we can find our refuge and our shelter in God. We need to make sure that our string is attached to him. He's a God that with his little finger, he can stop any ICBM. Any intercontinental ballistic missile cannot be fired, cannot hit its target unless God allows it. God's in control of every country, every military commander on earth. Nothing ever happens that he does not authorize or allow. He does allow men to make decisions outside of his perfect will at times, but he's never outsmarted. He's never outmaneuvered. And we can zoom this in on a very personal level this evening. We all have an enemy that's intent on our destruction. He loves to taunt our minds with doubts and fears. He attacks us with discouragement, and if he can't get us with that, then he tries pride. He uses either one or the other to try and bring us down. We might be struggling with questions. How will my family turn out? My struggling teen? Will I be able to keep their heart? What happens if I lose their heart? Our enemy attacks us with questions. He used the same tactic on Adam and Eve. Tonight, our God is not a God of ifs. Rather, he's a God that is. And I'm thankful that you can bring him. We can bring him any question, any concern, any struggle that we might have. And his word has an answer for us. God is a shelter from the accusations and attacks of Satan. For Elijah, he spoke in that still small voice. His message was not sent out in a loud, boisterous way. We must be still tonight so that we can hear the still small voice of God. You know, many times our own fear is our greatest enemy. Fear is the absence of faith, and it fills our hearts and brings tension to our lives. When we focus on ourselves or on others to meet our needs rather than on God to provide the answers. Let's turn over to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, I'd like to read verses 1 to 4. Very familiar psalm again. But sometimes I think we skip over these psalms and we don't really get a hold of what they actually mean and what we can experience when this is a reality in our lives. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 4. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Sounds better to me than some stuffy old bomb shelter. Do you have a secret place tonight where you can go and you can find peace and rest for whatever is pulling on that string? Maybe it's out in the barn. Maybe it's back in the woods somewhere. Maybe you've got a tree stand back there and you go back there and you sit there in deer season. I tell you, if you got a tree stand somewhere tonight, you need to use it for more than just deer hunting season. Use it as a secret place where you can go and you can pour out your fears and your questions and your troubles to God. That's what He wants us to do. And He will cover you with His feathers. Maybe it's a log, a fallen down tree, back in the woods somewhere. You need to be able to go there and pour out your heart to God. That's the way God designed us. And when we try to well up those fears and those struggles and those troubles, we're not designed to be able to bear that. But I'm thankful this evening that God has provided a way that tension can be released. If you don't have a place like that, I urge you to find one. It'll be the best investment you ever made. We don't need a bomb shelter tonight, but we do need a secret place where we can go and commune with God. A place where the shadow of the Almighty covers you, where His feathers comfort you, and where His truth commands you and tells you what to do. It's important we stay close to God, that we abide in His shadow, that we abide under His wings. It talks about abiding there, and that means living there. That's a place where we live. That's a place where we dwell. It talks here about snares as well. Snares are deceptive. They're usually hidden or covered to catch their prey unexpectedly. Life is full of snares. Satan is a very subtle trapper. We talked about bitterness this morning. That's just one of his traps. That's just one of his snares. He has many more. He uses our desires and our weaknesses to trap us. He also uses noisome pestilences. And it talks about that here in Psalm 91, verse 3. It talks about the noisome pestilence. And I just like to think about that tonight as being just those little mosquitoes. Maybe it's just that little persistent thought that keeps coming back. Maybe it's an impure thought, or maybe it's an unforgiving thought. And that, it just, you might be having a good day until that thought comes and you can't seem to get rid of it. That little noisome pestilence. Maybe it's rumors. Maybe you hear a rumor around the back and it kind of wipes you out. Maybe it feels like a backstab. Well, God can deliver us from those noisome pestilences, just those little things that Satan sends to try and undermine our faith. Maybe it's discontentment and whatever it is, it just bothers you and you can't get rid of it. Well, give the other end of the string to God and be still. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Again, Isaiah 40, verse 31, that's been read before tonight. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Tonight you get wind and you get wings when you wait upon God and are still before Him. Stanza number 2. Back here in Psalm 46, When we know God and find our shelter and strength in Him, we can be still. Number two, because God surrounds His people and is the source and supply for their every need. Talks here in verse 4 about there is a river. Verse 5 says, God is in the midst. I read about the Ganges River. Now, some of you, I think, have been to Bangladesh. I haven't been there myself. But the Ganges River flows over 1,500 miles down through northern India, all the way down through Bangladesh, and empties into the Bay of Bengal. It's considered the world's dirtiest river. It's the most polluted river in the world. It absorbs more than 1 billion gallons of waste every day, mostly raw sewage and domestic waste. It doesn't make you very thirsty, does it? Now, opposite to that is the Tara River, which is in Bosnia. And it's considered the cleanest in the world. The water is so pure that you can drink straight from the river. And it's a favorite place for river rafters and hikers from all over the world. Last summer, we went out to Alberta and spent some time in the Canadian Rockies. And we were driving along the road there, and we come upon this stream that was gushing down out of the mountain. And we stopped, we pulled off, and took our water bottles down there, filled them up, drank right out of the stream. It was that clear, it was that pure. This river here, in verse 4, it says it makes glad the city or the people of God. And that word, makes glad, means to brighten up. It means to make joyful. It means to cheer up. The world tonight tries to find cheer in a bottle, but its source isn't the river that Psalm 46 is talking about. And I would just say this, I don't think it's a problem here, but never touch that stuff. Never touch the stuff that the world calls cheer, because it'll bring you exactly the opposite. And not only is it always an alcoholic beverage, the world uses a lot of pills and a lot of other things to try and fix spiritual problems. We need to be very careful and discerning with those types of things as well. God is the source of this river. Revelation 22 verse 1 says, "And he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." Pure, uncontaminated, clear as crystal. Pollution free. What a picture of what God does for His people. You know, in bygone days, a river was the lifeline of a community. It provided the source of power. Settlers built their mills along the river. Many towns are situated along rivers today because of that. God is the source of power for His people. Psalm 68 verse 35 says, "The God of Israel is He that giveth strength and power unto His people." Paul said, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection." 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." This evening you can have all the power you need for every need you have. Power to overcome sin, whatever that need is, whatever that struggle is. God is the source of power. He's like that river. And when you open your life to Him and allow Him to flow through you and allow His Spirit to fill you, He'll give you power to overcome whatever it is. Come to the river, get down into it like Naaman did and find healing. A river also provided a place for washing. People, clothes, cattle found cleansing in the river. We used to swim in a little spring creek when I was a boy. The farm that we lived on had a little spring creek that flowed year round. Summer, winter, even the driest of summers, that little creek would just keep flowing. There was brook trout in there, and we'd go brook trout fishing. And when the summer weather got really hot, we'd go in there and try and swim, but you couldn't stay in very long. It was a spring creek. And in a few minutes, you were numb. That's how cold that water was, even in the warmest of a July summer day. God's river provides cleansing. Ephesians 5, verse 26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it. That's his bride, that's his church, that's you and I tonight, with the washing of water by the word. Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Do you have a place in your heart that needs cleansing? Maybe it's just a stain. Maybe it's just a spot. Maybe it's just a small sin, you would say. Get into the river of God's word and stay there and experience cleansing. The pioneers also depended on the river to sustain life. Its water provided irrigation for the crops. Livestock drank from its waters. Fish provided the staple for many needs. It was a highway into the interior settlements. A river meant life. God's river sustains life. Let's turn back to Psalm 36. I'd like to read a couple verses here. Psalm 36, verse 7 and 8. It says here, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. We have the shadow of God's wings again. And then verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Where are you finding your satisfaction tonight? Where is your heartstring connected to? Is it to God's river? Is it flowing through your life? You must keep God in the midst, in the center of your life. You put something else there, and it's guaranteed that you'll be miserable and upset. If God is there, the tension will be just right. Number three, stanza number three here in Psalm 46. We can be still tonight when God is our success. When God is our success. Verses 8 to 11 here of this psalm. Notice it says, come, behold the works. It doesn't say the works of Dennis Martin or Stan Martin or Jeff Ball. It says, come, behold the works of the Lord. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Tonight, is God the reason for any success in your life? Is God getting the honor for anything good that's happened? Anything good that you've done, are you giving God the glory, the honor for that success? Billy Graham passed away recently. In November of this year, he would have been, I believe it was 100 years old. He spent over 75 years in ministry, preached the gospel to more live audiences than anyone else in history. Nearly 215 million people in over 185 countries. I read about one time back in 1973 when he held a crusade in Seoul, North Korea or South Korea. On the final day, it was estimated that there was 1.1 million people that sat on an unused runway and heard the gospel message. Now, I'm not here tonight to endorse or discredit Billy Graham. I don't think we need to get involved in that. But his motivation, his mission statement, I believe has something that we can learn from. And I'm just going to read you what he said. He says this, if anything has been accomplished through my life, it has been solely God's doing, not mine. And he, not I, must get the credit. Is that your focus tonight? Who's getting the credit for anything good that has come from your life? Dear people, tonight, that is one of the keys to success. When a man tries or starts to steal or share the credit from God, God's blessing leaves. Verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord. I'm sure that as you reflect
on God's work in your own life, you can say the same thing. As you look back on God's leading, and you look back on his faithfulness, maybe it was through your youth years. I remember in my youth years, I spent some time at Shepherd's Fold, and I was going through a particular struggle, and I remember we went to some kind of special meeting somewhere. I'm not sure where it was, but Brother Aaron Shank was there, and some of you may remember him, some of you may not. But I got to speak with him that night, and he provided some sound advice for me at that point in my life. It was what I needed. And God, I believe, caused it for our pathways to cross and for us to meet there. Well, those meetings are set up by God. God was there. And you maybe see the same thing in your life when a godly mentor was there at the right place at the right time. Maybe it was a friend that gave you some straight advice. Maybe it was a sermon that helped you to make the right choice. Or even a difficult circumstance that blocked the pathway that you would have taken. And had you gone down that pathway, it would have taken you away from God. You see, some of the things that look to us like life's greatest disappointments or difficulties can actually be God's mercy at work on our behalf. There are times, there's things we look back and wonder, how did I ever get through that? Maybe you look ahead. Maybe there's something facing you tonight and you wonder the same thing. How am I ever going to get through that? Maybe you're wondering that as a parent. Maybe as a Sunday school teacher or a preacher. You wonder how the demands of the responsibility and the capability that you have, you're wondering how it's going to ever come together. I remember looking at the preaching schedule when I was first ordained. They would give out a preaching schedule with the schedule for the next 4 months. And I would look at that and I'd see my name, 1, 2, 3. And it's like, how in the world am I ever, ever supposed to do this? Well, God was there. He provided. Maybe it's the first years in business. I still remember the first few years in business. A lot of expenses starting up. And I think we got to be careful, even those who have been in business for a number of years, be careful you don't get overconfident. Remember, every good thing you have is a gift from God. But I remember praying that God would send a customer in the lane. May we never lose our dependence on God. May we never get to a place where we become so deceived into thinking that our success is the result of our skill set. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Psalm 127, verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." Tonight, God will be successful. He will be victorious. He will be exalted. When we work for him, and when we work with him, and when we work through him and because of him, we will share in that success. But when we begin to use our gifts that he gives to us to exalt ourselves or to build a kingdom for ourselves, we in reality are robbing from God. And tonight, no one ever steals from God and gets away with it. I even think we need to be careful when we think about our church. I've just heard from time to time little things come through, not about your church here, but about our church back home. Just the attitude that, oh, maybe we've got the answers, or we've kind of got it together here, and we're kind of the envy of the community. I tell you, God will change that real quick if that's your attitude. If you're part of a scriptural brotherhood and you're enjoying church life, keep on enjoying it. It's a gift from God, but it's not about who we are or about us getting it right. It's about us following the scriptures and walking in humility before God. Where is God in your life? Is he in the midst? Is he hanging on to the other end of that string? Everyone wants to be part of something successful, but the price of success many times is more than what many want to pay. Self-sacrifice, self-denial, submission are not popular subjects, but they're foundational to success. The formula for success tonight is really not that complicated. The Lord told Joshua, this is what he said, just a simple formula. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Speak the word, study the word, submit to the word, and you will be successful. You might not become famous. You know, it might not make it to the Forbes top 10 businessman's list. You might not get the Nobel Peace Prize. But if we make it to the finish line tonight and we hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," that will be the greatest success that anyone could ever realize. But we must stay with God. We must keep that string. We must be still. Keep that string anchored in God. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." God's work, his church, his program will be successful. And tonight, if we align ourselves with God's word, and if we stay on board, we can be successful with him. So let's be still and know that God is in control. He's the shelter from our fears. He's the strength for our weakness. He surrounds his people and supplies their every need. And he will be successful, and so will we, as we are still and keep our string connected to him. Each and every one of us do that tonight as we face the trials and the challenges of life. May you know and experience the stillness and peace that comes from being still and knowing God.